It was a cold, quiet night when I pulled into the parking lot of the deserted Chick-fil-A. I hadn't been sleeping well since I lost my daughter to an accident, and eating had become more of a chore than a necessity. The place was eerily empty. As I approached the counter, I noticed a girl standing there. She looked to be in her late teens, with dark hair pulled back into a tight ponytail, her uniform stained. But something about her seemed off. Her eyes darted around nervously, and her hands twitched as she fiddled with the register.
Excuse me, can I please order?
She didn't respond at first, her eyes moving left to right really fast. When she finally looked at me, her pupils had suddenly turned a milky white. I stumbled back, heart pounding in my chest.
Ma'am, are you okay?
Her eyes cleared, and she blinked rapidly, as if coming out of a trance.
Sorry about that. What can I get for you?
Her voice was eerily familiar, and it sent chills down my spine. I shook my head, trying to focus.
A chicken sandwich, please?
She tapped at the register, her movements jerky and unnatural. Then she paused, a strange smile creeping across her face.
Hey, Ma. Still miss me?
My blood ran cold. My daughter, Emily, used to call me Ma in the same exact tone when she was upset or disappointed. Emily, who had died in the tragic car accident 6 months ago.
What did you say?
The girl at the counter looked up, her eyes strange and dark. I took a step back.
Is this a joke? You one of her followers?
Her face contorted into a sinister grin.
Don't you remember, Psycho Emily, Ma? I shot the first one right in our old kitchen.
My heart nearly stopped. Emily had gained a huge following on Instagram for her spot-on impersonations of a psychopathic character. It was just an act, a harmless hobby. But seeing this girl mimic that persona so perfectly, right down to the chilling details no one knew, was way too much to bear.
This isn't funny. Please stop. You're not her.
Tears streamed down my face. She leaned over the counter, her eyes dark and menacing. The girl laughed, a cold, hollow sound. And as she did that, the lights in the restaurant started going on and off.
I think you owe me an apology.
With that, her hand leapt out and grabbed my neck, choking with an unholy force. I kicked the counter with everything that I had and pushed myself away. That is when she leapt and jumped on the counter, sticking her tongue out, her teeth now morphed into sharp razor ones. She leapt out, grabbed my arm with one and punched at my shoulder with the other. Pain shot through my body as she went on to twist my hand, and soon I could hear the bones cracking. I cried out, trying to pull away, but she held on tight.
I think you owe me an apology.
She hissed. I struggled, kicking and thrashing, but she was relentless. She dragged me across the floor, her eyes glowing with a malevolent light. I felt my strength fading, my vision blurring. Just as I thought I couldn't take anymore, I whispered,
I'm sorry, Emily. I love you. Please forgive me.
Suddenly, she stopped. Her grip loosened and she stepped back, her expression blank.
I was driving the car when we crashed. I was checking my phone, and by the time I looked up to see that I had drifted from my lane, it was too late. An oncoming car had crashed into her side, killing her on the spot, while I escaped with minor injuries. I never got to tell her how sorry I was until that moment. The lights suddenly flickered again, and when they steadied, my daughter was gone. In her place was a terrified teenager, her eyes wide with confusion.
What happened? Are you okay, miss?
She asked, her voice trembling. I lay on the floor, my body aching, tears still streaming down my face. The girl helped me to my feet and offered to drive me to the hospital. I stumbled out of the restaurant, holding onto my broken hand, the cold night air hitting my face like a slap. I looked back one last time, half expecting to see Emily standing there,
her eyes filled with anger and pain, but the place was empty. I just hope that she found peace wherever she was. I'm sorry, Emily. The grand opening of our town's first Chick-fil-A had finally arrived, and excitement was palpable. I was assigned to the front counter, welcoming customers with my best smile. The place was packed, families and friends enjoying the new spot. The air was filled with the scent of freshly cooked chicken, and the sound of chatter and laughter was almost deafening. The store mascot, a giant cow, stood in a corner. The guy behaved rather coldly, refused to pose for pictures with the kids, kept fidgeting one leg and rocking back and forth. It seemed a bit over the top, but the patrons kept poking fun at him. Around 1 p.m., the atmosphere suddenly shifted. I noticed the cow standing still in the middle of the dining area, its head tilted in an unnerving way. Then, without warning, it bolted towards the door and locked it. Then everyone shook to the sound of gunfire. The mascot had pulled out two guns and started firing. Panic erupted. People rushed to the exits, banging on the locked doors. They became the targets. Others ducked under their tables. The mascot soon dropped his empty gun and grabbed a nearby chair and swung it at the closest person, a young man who had been waiting for his order. He crumpled to the floor, blood pooling around his head. Screams filled the air. I ducked behind the counter, heart pounding. My colleague, Jenny, hurried next to me, eyes wide with fear.
What do we do? Stay low. We need to find a way out.
The cow continued its rampage, overturning tables, shooting at people. The once cheerful atmosphere had turned into a nightmare. I peeked over the counter and saw the cow moving methodically, targeting anyone who tried to hide or escape. It was terrifyingly precise, like it had planned every move. I crawled towards the back door, motioning for Jenny to follow. We reached the kitchen. I tried the back door. It was locked, too.
Damn it! We're trapped! She planned this!
Jenny started to cry. I took her hand, trying to keep her calm. Suddenly, the kitchen door burst open, and the mascot stepped in. I froze, my heart feeling like it would burst out of my chest. It spotted us, dropped his two empty guns immediately, and charged. I grabbed a frying pan from the counter and swung it as hard as I could. It connected with the cow's head, but it barely slowed down. The mascot's head twisted around, the lifeless eyes of the costume staring into mine. Jenny and I sprinted through the kitchen, but the mascot was right behind us. I could feel its hot breath on my neck. It grabbed my arm, yanking me back. I screamed as pain shot through my shoulder. I twisted around and kicked, hitting his knee. It stumbled, giving me a moment to break free.
Hurry, Carol!
I followed her into the walk-in freezer. We slammed the door shut, locking it from the inside. The cold air hit me like a wall, but I didn't care. We were safe now. The mascot banged on the door, the man's muffled growls penetrating the thick walls. I knew it wouldn't hold forever. My shoulder throbbed, and I could feel the blood trickling down my arm.
What's happening? Who's that man?
I didn't have an answer. All I could think about was surviving. After what felt like an eternity, we heard police sirens. There were noises outside, and then silence. We waited in the cold before we couldn't take it anymore. I cautiously stepped out, motioning for Jenny to stay behind. I made my way back to the dining area, each step cautious. The sight that greeted me was horrific. Bodies lay scattered, the once vibrant restaurant now a scene of chaos and death. Then I saw it. The mascot, on his knees in the middle of the room, his head removed. Underneath was a man, his face twisted with anger and pain, surrounded by the police.
This is my family's land. My forefather bled here. You can't take this away from us. It has our blood. Now it will have theirs.
I realized who he was. A local, known for his eccentric and often aggressive stance on the town's development. He believed the restaurant was on his ancestors' land. He looked at me, the madness in his eyes faltering for a moment. Then, with a final scream of rage, he suddenly charged at me. I braced myself, but all the officers around him fired at once. I leaned against the wall, trembling, crying. I wouldn't wish this terror upon my worst enemies. The clock struck 10 p.m. as I wiped down the counter for what felt like the 100th time that night. Working the night shift at Chick-fil-A wasn't exactly my dream job, but it paid the bills. The restaurant was eerily quiet, the hum of the fluorescent lights the only sound. I sighed and leaned against the counter, staring out at the empty dining area. A flicker of movement caught my eye. I squinted, trying to make out what it was. That's when a text from my girl brought me out of my boredom.
How's it going?
Quiet. Too quiet. I want to kill myself. I sent the text and slipped the phone back into my pocket. I took a deep breath, trying to shake off an uneasy feeling like I was being watched. Just another hour, I reminded myself. Suddenly, the lights flickered. I froze. The lights went out completely, plunging the restaurant into darkness. I fumbled for my phone, turning on the flashlight. The beam of the light cut through the darkness, casting long shadows that seemed to dance on the walls. It was weird. We didn't have many outages around here. I made my way back where the circuit breaker was. My footsteps echoed in the silence. I reached the breaker and flipped the switch. The lights came back on, and I let out a sigh of relief. But as I turned to head back to the front, I heard a noise behind me. I spun around, flashlight shaking. Nothing, just the walk-in freezer. I laughed nervously at my own jumpiness and made my way back to the front. The dining area was just as I left it, empty and quiet. But something felt off. I couldn't shake the feeling that I was being watched. I tried to brush it off, but the hairs on the back of my neck stood on end. I walked back to the counter and glanced at the clock. 10:15 p.m. Time seemed to be crawling. Then I heard it, a faint whisper, like someone calling my name. I stopped, straining to hear. Hello? Silence. I shook my head, convinced I was hearing things. I resumed my cleaning, but the whisper came again, louder this time.
Who's there?
No answer. I walked around the counter, peering into the dining area. Empty. I walked to the door and looked outside. Nothing. I returned, nerves on edge. Then, the whispering started again, this time more insistent. I followed the sound, flashlight in hand, until I reached the storage room. The door creaked as I pushed it open. The whispering stopped abruptly. I shone the flashlight around the room, but it was empty. Just boxes of supplies and cleaning products. As I turned to leave, the door slammed shut behind me. I yelped, dropping the flashlight. Darkness enveloped me. I scrambled to pick it up, the beam flickering as I pointed it at the door. It was closed tight. Panic set in. I pounded on the door. I turned the flashlight on again, and that is when I froze. There was a figure in the room. The figure was a man, tall and gaunt, with hollow white eyes. He took a step towards me, and I stumbled back, tripping over a box.
Stay away from me!
The figure kept advancing, a sinister smile now spreading across his face. I crawled backward, desperate to get away. My back hit the wall, and I realized I was trapped. The man reached out, his hand cold and clammy as it closed around my ankle. I kicked out, but his grip was like iron. He pulled me closer, his eyes never leaving mine. His smile widened, revealing rows of sharp, yellow teeth. He leaned in close, his breath hot and rancid on my face. That is when he let out a growl that sounded like the wailing of an injured animal. I screamed, thrashing against his grip. The pain in my leg was excruciating, but I didn't care. I had to get away. I kicked again, harder this time, and his grip loosened. I scrambled to my feet, bolting for the door. I yanked it open and ran, not stopping until I was outside, gasping for air. I looked back at the restaurant, half expecting to see the man following me, but the doorway was empty. I didn't go back inside, got in my car and drove away. When my manager arrived in the morning, I quit on the spot. He didn't believe what I said. He actually laughed at me. I never told anyone what happened that night. I don't know what happened or how to explain my ordeal. But I have started believing since that some unholy beings walk among us, hiding in the shadows.